Please rise out of respect for the words of our Lord. The gospel reading for our consideration today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all of Judea and the whole region of Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is at hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation today, the same words we just heard read from Matthew chapter 3, is the story of the baptism of our Lord. And it starts out with John the Baptist shouting out, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Every time I hear that part of the Bible, I get this picture in my head. And I don't know if it's just the times and days and the way that John the Baptist was described in the Bible. But let's be real here. John the Baptist is described wearing camel's hair, eating wild honey. So just camel's hair, wild honey, a leather belt, just kind of makes me think of this crazy guy, right? And I mean, it talks to him that he's out in the wilderness of Judea as well. And so it always has a funny picture in my mind of John the Baptist shouting out, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is near." And it makes me think, that's just pretty, you know, turns you off a little bit, doesn't it? Kind of, ugh, this crazy guy here, what's he have to say for me, right? Well, John the Baptist here is foreshadowing. He's preparing the way for Jesus. And he has a lot of really good things to say. And sometimes for me as a human being, I have to get past those pictures that get put in my mind, you know, the wild honey and the wild crazy man, and what it would be like if John the Baptist was saying that today, because we do have some of those people doing that, and what do we do when we see that kind of cross the road and go the other direction, perhaps? Well, that's not necessarily the case here. John the Baptist was preparing the way for Jesus. He has some very important things to say. So, as he's shouting out, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is near," it might make us wonder, what is this kingdom of heaven that John is talking about? This kingdom of heaven is something that each and every one of us can look forward to, can be excited about, but we can experience here and now as well. The kingdom of heaven is something that our Savior wants us to experience. The kingdom of heaven is near or at hand, like John the Baptist is saying, but it's also here today. We're going to talk about that. Now, I want to come up with a good sermon illustration for today. And I came up with one that I thought was really good. However, It's a little political in nature. So if you have particular left political leanings, get those out of your mind. If you have particular right political leanings, get those out of your mind. Think of the picture that we're trying to describe here, okay? So go back about 3 years ago. It's November 4th, 2008. Anybody remember what that day is? Election Day. And there were many, many people that were on the left-leaning side that were really hoping for some change. And they were excited because their new president-elect, President Obama, was voted into office, correct? Everybody remembers that? So for those that are left-leaning, they were so excited because of all this hope and this change that was coming, right? But on November 5th, had anything really changed yet? No, the presidency of President Obama was at hand. It was coming. He wasn't going to be inaugurated yet until when? January 20th, next month, 2.5 months later, correct? So for all those that were hoping for this change and ready for this hope and change, it wasn't happening until at least January 20th, was it? For us, we can think of a very similar parallel here. The kingdom of heaven is near, and it's at hand. Just as those who were hoping for that change were able to experience it, that excitement, that time of waiting, there was a lot of excitement on those left-leaning folks that were waiting for President Obama's presidency January 20th. All that excitement that was going on, it wasn't quite there yet. We too know that Jesus Christ has come down to earth. He has won the victory for us, and we're just waiting for that kingdom of heaven to come to fruition for us, aren't we? So very similar to that political thing. In the Greek language, if you look at the kingdom, it's not just a place, but it's the ruling activity of the king. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be drawn to the conclusion that it's the ruling presence of God. We're currently here on earth. We're not in heaven yet, are we? Wish we were quite often, but we're not. So we're in a place filled with sin. It's filled with pain. It's filled with frustration. This place called earth is ruled by sinful human beings, aren't we? Place where Satan's able to run wild and rule. You know, many of us, especially at this time of the year, might start a new Bible reading plan. Anybody start a new, I'm going to read the Bible in a year this year? Has anybody done that, said, I'm going to start over, I'm going to be able to read the Bible in a year this year? Anybody? If you are doing that, quite often the reading plans start with, you know, if you're doing it from cover to cover, you might start with Genesis. Some of them will do it so you read a chapter at a time, different parts of the Bible. Often it's Genesis, and the other book is Job. So if you've been reading from Job recently, you'll hear the story of Job. Anybody really familiar with the story of Job? A couple of us, okay. Well, in the chapter of book of Job, Job is this guy that, you know, God goes to Satan and says, have you considered Job here? This guy, Job, you know, he follows all my commands. He does things the right way. And Satan says, yeah, that's just because he's rich and he has everything he ever wanted. He's got lots of good things and lots of good kids. And God says, okay, I don't believe that's the case. And Satan was allowed to torment Job. Basically, he lost all his possessions. He lost his family. And God allowed Satan to do this, but within parameters. It's very clear here that while God is in control, Satan has been allowed to rule here on earth. God has allowed Satan certain parameters, and sin torments us even today, doesn't it? So we're here in the sinful world. We're here on earth waiting for that perfect kingdom of heaven, aren't we? God gives us certain things. Certain times we're able to foretaste that kingdom of heaven. Today, we go back in that text and we see that John the Baptist is saying, prepare, the kingdom of heaven is near. And a voice from heaven says, after Jesus is baptized, this is my son whom I love. I'm well pleased with him. This is one of the kingdom of heaven experiences that we can have here today on earth. Through our baptism, Jesus gives us that kingdom of heaven. He looks down at you and I through our baptism and says, you are my son, you are my daughter, whom I am well pleased. I love you. You are my child. Think of that picture of God up in heaven, tearing open the skies, looking down and saying, I love you. You are my child. We are his heirs to that throne. We are his children waiting for that fulfillment. It's hard to understand how in the world, though, we can have this kingdom of heaven right now, though, isn't it? So often there's frustration and pain, and it's sin and this turmoil that goes back and forth. Well, let's read from the Bible in Romans chapter 6. It kind of helps us out in this a little bit. Romans chapter 6 tells us that we are dead to our sins. Yes, we do live in this sinful world. But if we read on chapters 2 through 10, it says, should we just keep on sinning since we're dead to our sins? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will also certainly be reunited with him in a resurrection like this. For we know that our old self was crucified with Jesus so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So we've been set free from this human nature, this sinfulness that we have. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that Christ was raised from the dead. He can't die again. Death will no longer have mastery over him. The death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. The kingdom of heaven is for us. Jesus Christ died for us. Because he died for us, he took on that punishment that we deserve for our sins. He did it for you. He did it for me. Jesus Christ did that. Because of that, we are free from that punishment. We don't have to fear death because we now know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand for you and for me. All we have to do is accept that forgiveness that he offers to us so freely. All we have to do is believe this and ask for forgiveness. Then we can live like those hoping for that hope and change back November 4th, 2008 with President Obama 3 years ago. We can have that hope. We can have that changed life, but without the empty promises, but without the fear that it might not really happen. Because we know that Jesus already did it. It's already done. Jesus has invoked that real hope, that real change in our lives and for us. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that wonderful to know that, yes, we are sinners. Yes, we still live in a sinful world. But still, God our Father comes to us and says, you are a saint. You are my child. Through your baptism, through my son dying on the cross for you, you are forgiven and you have a spot in my kingdom. Now that, my friends, is real hope and change, don't you think? He doesn't stop there. He wants us to know and feel that real presence with us today and every day. He wants us to have even more of that foretaste of that kingdom of heaven. He wants us to experience that. Soon, later on in the service, we're going to have communion together. We're going to celebrate together as a family of believers, as a family of Christians, today, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But it doesn't just celebrate here with us. We get to celebrate with all believers. Not just all believers here in this room, but all believers around the world. Not just all believers around the world, but all believers today, yesterday, and in the future. The entire communion of saints. What a celebration feast when you think of who we are celebrating with. What we are celebrating, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, forgiving us, freeing us from that bondage of sin. It's a mystery. It's hard for us as human beings to comprehend. How are we really doing that? But Jesus does tell us that that is what we're experiencing. That is what he is giving us, his body and blood, through that communion. And we can celebrate that assurance of forgiveness together. Those who have Christ through that kingdom of heaven know that Jesus Christ is their righteousness. They know that they're helpless. We can't do it on our own. But because Christ died, he saves us. Once we tasted the righteousness of Christ, you want more and more of it, don't you? We're always hungry and thirsty for more righteousness that is Jesus. Jesus says that everyone who believes in him are already blessed because on the last day he will satisfy their desire for righteousness and they will be filled. Those who have Christ, through the kingdom of heaven, will receive Christ's mercy. Not only does Christ's mercy work in them, it works through them. We need to remember who we are through Christ. It's our identity. We are His heirs. We are His children. Through that power of forgiveness, He gives us the power to share His love with others. He gives us the power to know that we are forgiven. And through that, we should not want to keep that to ourselves, should we? We are not just Christians because we were born into it. We are not just Christians because our parents brought us to church. We're not just Christians because it's something we have to do. We are Christians because Jesus died on the cross. He chose you and you and you and me. We are His heirs. We are His adopted children, ready to inherit His kingdom of heaven. We need to remember that we are His children. We are His heirs. And it's with this knowledge, this forgiveness and recognition that we are the sons and daughters of the King. That we have the power through the Holy Spirit that we can live in this kingdom power, that we don't have to fear sin, we don't have to fear death, that we do know that Jesus has prepared a place for you and for me up in heaven. We need to remember this now. Believe all these promises that He has given us, that we are heirs to His throne, we are His children. Jesus did all the hard work. He went through the punishment. All we have to do is accept that forgiveness, repent, turn to Him, and accept that fact that Jesus already did it for us. We just have to remember that we are His heirs. We are His children. And as a result, we can go out and do His work. We can share His love, and that we can live in that promise of forgiveness. Brings us back to the beginning, doesn't it? John the Baptist is out there shouting, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It is. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus already died. It's here and now. Given to you as a free gift. As a foreshadowing, a taste of what we can experience up in heaven. All I have to do is repent. All I have to do is accept that forgiveness. And know that Jesus already did it for you. An awesome gift that He gives us. Amen.